There is an important pasuk in this week's parsha, Parshas Emor, "Velo sechalalu Hashem kadshi, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem mekadishchem." That we have an obligation throughout life to make sure that we uphold the standard of who it is that we represent, and to make sure that we are always going to be mekadesh shem shamayim. Now, says the Torah, the original pasuk was stated in regard to a Jew who chooses to serve Avodah Zarah. And there the Torah says, somebody who does that is considered to be a mechalel Hashem kadshi. You are defiling the name of God, because obviously you are serving somebody else outside of God Himself. So, Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Nefesh HaChaim wonders, why is it that we refer to this category as a chilul Hashem? It's such an unusual term. Why do we call it a chilul Hashem? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the answer is very simple. That this lashon of chilul is because shehu inyan lashon chalal upnias makom. It means like an emptiness or a void. A chalal means an empty space. Kia inyan kan. What do we mean when we say a chilul Hashem? Shemara chas v'shalom, because you give off the impression kiilu hamakom she'omei bo hu chalul panoi mimenu yisbarach. You make someone else have the impression from what they see you doing, from what they observe, that your life, that your space is empty from the presence of Hashem. And therefore, he says, that's why we refer to it as a chilul Hashem. It means your life is void of God. That's the impression you're giving off right now. And that's what the Torah means here in our pasuk, v'lo sechalalu Hashem kadshi. What I find very interesting is that we all have heard of this term of a chilul Hashem, but when you look in the Rishonim have many, many different manifestations and expressions of what exactly the Torah meant when it said, lo sechalalu Hashem kadshi. When the Torah says, don't make a chilul Hashem, what exactly does the Torah mean to instruct us to abide by? So there are a number of different things that are meant by this very simple pasuk. Number one, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, and this is something that we should never be challenged with, but the Rambam says, Kol mi she'nemar bo yehoreg v'al yavar. There are three averos in the Torah that we know if somebody's life depends on those. We know if somebody threatens your life and they tell you either I'm going to kill you or you violate Gili Arayis, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim. So the halacha is one has to be willing to have the strength to give up their life instead of violating those three cardinal sins. Now says the Rambam, what if I don't have the strength? What if I just say, you know what? I'm not ready to give up my life, and therefore I go ahead and I violate the Avera of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, or Shvichas Damim. Says the Rambam, such a person is Hareza Mechalel Es Hashem. That is someone who just made a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Because God expects you that under those circumstances you should have the strength to say, I'm going to respect my God more than I respect my own life. And since a person did not do that, says the Rambam, you have violated this Avera of Lo Sechalelu Es Shem Kadshi. That is number one, the Rambam says, where we find this idea of Chilul Hashem. Number two, he says, what if a person violates an Avera? Now says the Rambam, all of us make mistakes, and everybody violates an Avera at some level. Some people violate perhaps more severe Averas, and some people perhaps less severe, but everybody makes mistakes, and all of that has tshuva, which is a process that can work for us. However, says the Rambam, what if a person violates an Avera not because they have a Yetzirah, not because they feel such an inclination to eat that thing they weren't supposed to eat, to look at something they weren't supposed to look at, to violate an Avera in whatever area of life, but rather, says the Rambam, you do it out of spite, you do it out of malice, you do it out of hostility to God. You hate God so much that you decide to violate the Avera b'mezid, what we refer to as lahachis, not l'teyavon. L'teyavon means we all have an inclination sometimes to do something wrong. But here, says the Rambam, a person who violates an Avera, not l'teyavon, but rather lahachis, because I want to anger God, because I hate Him so much, there, says the Rambam, you are showing your lack of appreciation for everything that God stands for, and therefore that is also a manifestation of a tremendous chilul Hashem. Number three, and here we find an unusual category, and that is Adam Chashuv. If you have a reputable person, if you have somebody who is considered to be an honorable man or woman in the community, and they do something that's not usser, but they do something that is suspicious, they do something that makes people question them, that makes people talk, makes people wonder, there once again the Rishonim say, and this is quoted in the Sefer Achinuch, in the Rambam, in the Bahag, and many other Rishonim write, that an Adam Chashuv has to be doubly as careful as anybody else, because people hold you to a higher standard. And therefore, even if you're doing something that is not wrong at all, you're not violating an Avera, but you give off the impression that maybe you're involved in a situation that might not be as a person like you should be acting, say the Rishonim in such a case, that would also be an extension of this prohibition of Chilul Hashem. And finally, we know that the Chilul Hashem that we are used to hearing about is a Chilul Hashem in terms of doing something that the nations of the world will look at and wonder why it is that we serve God. Is this really what God stands for? After all, if you are the Jewish people, and the Jewish people call themselves the Am Hashem, you are the nation of God, then everything that you do reflects what we believe is the representation of God. And therefore, we know that the concept of Chilul Hashem, as we generally call it, is anything that we do which will negatively reflect on the God that we represent. And therefore, we have many different manifestations, like we said, that the Rishonim explain, are the interpretation of this pasuk of Elo Sechalelu Eshem Kadshi. What I find very fascinating is that in the days of the Gaonim, they extended this concept even further than what the Rishonim have told us up until this point. So the Gaonim said that we have a whole entirely new concept, and that is, if there's a way in which the non-Jews would act in their temple, in their synagogue, not synagogue, in their whatever it is, in their house of worship, and then they're going to look at the way we worship our God, this is not kfirah, this is what the Gaonim say and the Rishonim talk about it. Then they're going to look at the way we serve and they're going to say, well, this doesn't match up. They're acting so disrespectfully, they're acting so differently than we would act in our house of worship. Then the Gaonim said that also is a room for concern for Chilul Hashem. Now don't make the mistake. You have to be one of the great Rishonim to come up with how you're going to formulate this idea. But what I find very interesting is that there were many minhagim that were instituted as a result of this consideration. There are minhagim in a shul that were changed because of this consideration of how the nations of the world are going to look when they compare the way they service their gods and the way we pay service and respect to our God. There were minhagim in the days of the Rishonim that actually changed as a result of this consideration. I'm only going to say two of them, but there are a number of them that are discussed. And these I do not know on my own. There's a great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chiel Goldhaber, who is considered to be a great expert on Minhagim. He's written a number of Svarim about Chikur HaMinhagim. So he quotes these two examples, but he quotes many, many other examples as well. So here's one. In the days of the Rambam, now just to give a context here and to understand how long this practice that the Rambam instituted actually lasted for. The Rambam was born in 1135. The Rambam passed away in 1204. That's what they say. This practice was going on that the Rambam speaks about for sure until the days of the Radvaz. The Radvaz lived in 1479 is when he was born, and he passed away in 1573. In the days of the Radvaz, he was presented with a shaila about this minhag of the Rambam, which means that it was still something that was prevalent. It was still something that was considered to be the practice. So it was at least for 300 years that this practice was around in the communities of Sfarad. So what's the story? The Rambam receives a letter, and this is printed in the Tshuvas HaRambam, where the Rambam discusses the famous issue about Chazaras Hashatz. So what was the question? Somebody asked the Rambam, you know, what's the story? We come to shul, we all daven Quiet Shmona Esrei, then after we're all finished, everybody finishes at a different time, but when most of the people are finished, we begin Chazaras Hashatz. And what happens when we start Chazaras Hashatz? Nothing different today than what happened in the days of the Rambam. What happened in the days of the Rambam was, once the Chazan starts Chazaras Hashatz, everybody goes to turn their phones on, and everybody's talking to the people next to them, and everybody's busy looking through how much money they have in their wallets, and how many to-do things they have on their list today, and no one's really paying attention at all to what's happening with the Chazan and the Chazaras Hashatz. So the question was raised, what do we do about this? What do we do about this? The fact that half of our, not half, but there's a large portion of the davening, the whole Chazaras Hashatz, where the Chazan is saying all the words and no one's listening to him. Not just are they not listening, they're being disrespectful. They're all talking to each other and they're involved in other things. So the Rambam says that there was somebody who had a suggestion. And the suggestion was that we should all cut out the Quiet Shmona Esrei. Once we say Gal Yisrael, we're going to go straight into Chazaras Hashatz, and every member of the shul is going to quietly say Shmona Esrei along with the Chazan. This way we're going to have Tefillah B'Tzibur, and this way nobody's going to have time to talk to each other because we're all saying the words along with the Chazan. So we've solved the problem, writes the Rambam in a tshuva. Echad ha-chachamim me'artzos Edom, one of the great Talmid ha-chachamim had suggested, she'yispalel ha-shatz pam achas b'kol ram u'kedusha, V'shelo yihi sham lachash klal. We're not going to have any quiet Shmona Esrei. Everybody's going to say their private Shmona Esrei along with the Chazan. It writes the Rambam, I like that idea, and I accept that suggestion, and the Rambam got rid of the whole institution that we have today. So for hundreds of years, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah set up the davening, that we say Psukei D'Zimra, then we say Kriya Shema, then we say Quiet Shmona Esrei and Chazaras HaShatz. Comes along the Rambam, 1135, and he says, I'm sorry, this is just not working, and therefore, we're not going to do this anymore, we're going to change the practice, and as we said, this was going on for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years this was going on, at least till the days of the Radvaz, maybe even longer. I'm not a historian, I have no idea, but the Radvaz writes about the practice. Says the Rambam, why is it that I'm afraid of this? Because he says, if we don't do something about it, Kishe Yachzer Hashatz Lehispala B'kol Ram, when he goes to do his job and do the Chazaras Hashatz, Yafoch Panav Lesaperim Chaveiro. You're going to have people in the back of the shul talking to the ones next to them, and everyone's going to be busy doing whatever they want. And the Rambam says, the problem with that is not just the inherent disrespect that we're showing to the tefillah, not just the inherent disrespect that we show to the shul itself, but also, he says, Yusar Chilul Hashem Shenispashe Bein HaNachrim. All of the non-Jews know good and well that if you walk into a shul in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, you can hear everybody talking, and you see that nobody's listening to the Chazan, and therefore, says the Rambam, this consideration of Chilul Hashem was so high a priority on his list that we're willing to change the Minhag Yisrael for hundreds of years. We're willing to change it and say we're just going to revamp the whole tefillah system, because when they compare their tefillah, their prayer, to our prayer, they're just going to all laugh at us. And the Rambam says, this is something that I absolutely cannot stand for, and therefore he does away with a minhag, which took tremendous broad shoulders of the Rambam to adopt that position. The Radvaz, as we mentioned, lives in the end of the 1400s, and he's asked the Shaila, should we continue on with this minhag, or perhaps it's time to go back to the old style, as we know it today? Let's daven quiet Shmona Esrei, and then let us have Chazaras Hashatz. And the Radvaz responds that both of the considerations of the Rambam, he feels, are no longer applicable. Number one, he says, Baruch Hashem, we live at a time now in the 1400s, 1500s, nobody's talking during davening anymore, so we have nothing to worry about. Okay? Maybe the Radvaz lived in a very special community, but he says, the whole consideration of the Rambam is not something I'm worried about. In our shul, everyone's quiet, and therefore, number one, the problem is no longer the way it was in the days of the Rambam. Number two, yes, I know, says the Radvaz, you look in the back of shul, there's a couple of guys who are always talking, regardless of which community you're going to find yourself in, regardless of which generation you live in, there's always going to be someone, says the Radvaz, the consideration of Chilul Hashem makes no difference. Why? Writes the Radvaz, they're all going to make fun of us either way. All of the non-Jews, all the anti-Semites out there are just going to laugh at the Jewish community's way of serving their God, whether we take out Chazaras Hashatz or the Tefillas Lachash, or whether we leave it in. So forget about it. We didn't gain anything. Writes the Radvaz, he says, Kivin Shaloha Al-Nuklum, we gain nothing from this decision that we made to take the Chazaras Hashatz and the Tefillas Lachash and put it together, because everybody's still laughing at us. The same way they were beforehand, they're laughing now, and the Rambam accomplished nothing, and therefore the Radvaz says, let's get rid of this practice. We're going to go back to the way it was originally. But what I find fascinating about this whole discussion is that all of it was predicated pretty much on the fact that we were concerned what our neighbors are going to say when they look into the shul and they see the way we serve our God as opposed to the way they serve their own religions. Another fascinating discussion is, another one of the Rishonim talks about something that took place in his community. And this was after the Megurashei Sfarad, after all the community in Spain was expelled after the Spanish Inquisition, so they all had to find other places to live. So there was a community for the very first time that opened up in Algeria, is that what it is? So this was the first time that a religious community moved into this town, and the problem was everybody around them was Muslim. So the Rashbash, who was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rashbash was presented with the following Shaila. He says that there were people who were concerned about the following issue. We live in a Muslim community, and the Muslims have certain practices that they do when they go into their houses of worship, when they go into their mosque. And what is one of those practices? He says, Dabar Yadua, Shabes HaKnesses, Roy Leforo, Ula Ramamo, Ula Chabdo, Ula Harchik, Mimenu Kol Bizayon. Obviously, we know we have to respect the shul as much as possible, and that's something that we hold to be a very high priority. However, he says, the definition of what we call, of what we consider respect to a shul is not the same as our Muslim brothers. And therefore, writes the Rashbash, there were members of my community who came along and said that all the Nachrim are laughing at us. Why are they laughing at us? After all, they show the highest level of respect when they walk into a mosque by taking their shoes off. They walk in barefoot. Now in our community, as we know on the Har HaBayis, that's what we're expected to do. When we go into the Beis HaMikdash, we take our shoes off. But in a regular shul, that is not the protocol. That's not what we're expected to do. So the Rashbash was asked the Shaila, what do we do? Ba'artzos elu, shehi bizayon likanis lifnei gidoleim. Not only when they walk into a mosque, but also when they walk into somebody who is considered to be an honorable person in their lives. Kol shekein lifnei malkam. He says, if you walk in with shoes, you're considered to be showing the greatest level of disrespect. So we're going to have all these neighbors in this new community who are going to see all the Jews walking into shul with their shoes, and that's going to be a bizayon, a chilul Hashem. So writes the Rashbash, therefore he feels that in our community, how are we going to allow ourselves to live by a lower standard of what the world considers to be respectful to the house of worship? How can we do lower than what everybody around us does? And therefore he said he thinks that we need to take our shoes off because we live in a community where this is the protocol, where this is what everybody does, and that is the standard. A fascinating psak. It's something that we never find. The Gemara writes Beferish, when you come into a shul, there's nothing wrong with wearing his shoes as a Gemara in the end of Brachos, but under these circumstances, he said that we have to be very, very careful. And therefore, he ends off the tshuva by saying, Ech Efshar, how could it be, Shebebeis HaYishmal Echa, that when you go to their houses of worship, Bepachos Shebepchusim, which is the meaningless religion, Lo Yuchal Adam Likanes B'mano, they make every single member of the community take his shoes off before they walk in. It would base Elokim, but when you come to our house of worship, which is the true religion, Yikanes, you're going to tell me that you're allowed to wear your shoes? And therefore he argued, he said, under these conditions, Roy Lasos Takana B'davar Mishum Cherpasa Uma, in order that we shouldn't have a Chilul Hashem created by the way we're acting. And again, this is an example of nothing wrong that we're doing. We're doing what the Gemara tells us to do. But yet he said, the Rishonim sometimes say that we have an obligation to look out for something that's going to give off the impression as being disrespectful to our religion. And that is something that we have an obligation to consider as well in this pasuk of Lo Sechalelu Hashem Kadshi, even though there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, al pi the strict letter of the law that we are generally following.